This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's exactly 12 p.m. It's the United Kingdom. It's Greenwich Mean Time. And we will be eating the news straight after this. That qualifies as a record. It's FUBAR Radio. They call me Mark Dolan. Let's get cracking.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, and I better keep this one snappy because I promised my wife I'd go home and empty the dishwasher. So, big news this week. Rihanna's new album, whilst being leaked accidentally on streaming website Tidal, has now been released for free. Rihanna's new album is free. That's big news. Phil Collins' latest album is also free. Not selling well, though. Poor Phil. New medical research suggests that you can tell from a lady's face if she's ovulating. You can tell from her face if she's ovulating. I can tell when my wife is having that moment in the month, but normally she's throwing cutlery at me. So it's clearer. J. Jerry Hall has this week revealed her engagement ring, and it's worth, yes, £3.5 million. £3.5 million for her engagement ring. On the flip side, she's got to do heavy petting with Rupert Murdoch. Hashtag swings and roundabouts. Now, a new statistic reveals that 1 in 5 Muslims are in high security prisons. That means that 1 in 5 of the high security prison population are Muslims. 1 in 5. Now, like, at first glance, that's like, oh no, those Muslims. And then you suddenly realise that means that 4 out of 5 prisoners in high security prisons are not Muslims, which means it's not the Muslims we've got to worry about. It's the non-Muslims. So here on Mark Dolan Eats the News, I am revealing, unveiling, announcing a holy jihadist battle against the non-Muslims. They must be stopped. There's strong evidence that tennis is riven with match fixing. That's right, little old tennis riven with match fixing, which means it's just possible that Tim Henman didn't win Wimbledon, like, on purpose. Like it was a thing. My Scottish comedian friend laughing in the background. Come on, Tim. He couldn't even throw a match. The government have announced a deal on tax with Google in which we're going to pocket around £130 million in exchange for £10 billion worth of turnover. Now, I'm not a mathematician, obviously. Can't even say the word, but what I would say is, and what a concern to me is, at my calculator, right? It's not a generous deal, is it? It makes Jimmy Carr's tax arrangements look positively altruistic. Athletics are also in crisis. Yes, indeed, Adidas have announced they're going to remove and take away their investment, their sponsorship of the Olympics, and all athletics events are going forward, even though there's 4 years left to run on their contract. So that's a shocking thing. And ironically, therefore, the boss of World Athletics now has 3 stripes on his forehead. We got there in the end. Obviously, the Oscars are coming this weekend. We'll be previewing the Oscars in today's show. And there's a debate about just whether or not those Oscars are actually racist, because clearly black performers, black actors are underrepresented. It's worth pointing out that red-haired actors are also underrepresented, but people are widely agreed that's okay. And finally, I should announce, and I'd like to, in doing this, welcome my guest today, the legendary comedian Leo Kirst, who has a title. You're Britain's something, aren't you?
I'm the UK Pun Champion.
Oh, bloody hell. I've never won anything in my life. Look at you. You're just one of life's winners.
I think, this is going to be the lowest down the list of things that you can win and still win something.
Well, now, what I like about it is it's a tremendous skill that you have.
Thank you.
But there's also an implication. It's like you've won something that involves zero physical exertion.
Yeah.
You thought, you said, what can I win that I'm not even going to break sweat?
Yeah. As a Scotsman, we're good at those sports. You know, any sport that you can do with a cigarette in one hand and a pint of lager in the other.
Correct.
So snooker, darts, curling, things
That's
like
it.
That.
Absolutely. And really, so what you've done is it's shifting words around on a page.
Yes.
And that's your job.
Double meanings. I actually did it on Britain's Got Talent on Tuesday.
You've got to be pulling my leg.
No. I went up in front of the judges, in front of 3,000 people at the Dominion Theatre, and didn't go through.
Well, listen, that's good. That's your career saved. Yeah. I mean, it's the kiss of death making it onto
isn't it?
You're too good for Simon Cowell and
those other
idiots. I'm not gonna have anything to do with that.
What was interesting was I got yeses from Amanda Holden and Alicia Dixon.
But that was just sexual.
I think that's because their names are puns.
Oh, of
Amanda
course.
Holden. I need Amanda Holden cuddle. And Alicia Dixon. You know, well, Alicia Dixon, mate.
That sounds like really. Just don't Google Alicia Dixon because it's pretty adult stuff. I've got to announce. It's brilliant to have you on the show. I think it's going to be my last Mark Dolan Eats the News, and there's a good reason for this. I've won the lottery. Yes, I have. And by the way, I'm totally sharing loads with you because you've been doing this show now quite regularly.
Yeah.
And you get paid in bits of string, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Occasionally, an After Eight mint sleeve. Not even the mint, but an empty sleeve.
So if I get a mint that doesn't have a sleeve, at least I've got somewhere to keep it.
Yeah, you totally do. You've got that to look forward to. We've paid you with hope, with potential. I think it's going to... I've won the lottery.
So how
it's that ticket, it's the one that's been disputed.
It's me,
and I know, Leo, everyone's saying they've got the ticket.
And it was you.
And there's like over 100 people that and some of them are going to go to prison for lying. And listen, mate, I got it. And I can explain that I bought the ticket.
Yeah.
From my local news agent in Sheffield. And what happened is I got home.
Yeah.
And there was, it wasn't kind of been that long, but like a 5 to 10 minute nuclear holocaust in my house. And it got slightly damaged.
It would in that kind of scenario.
But if you would, what they need is, they need some sort of public figure who has maybe won something in their life to vouch for me as a character witness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So curse. If you can sort of back me up on this and say, oh, you know, he's good to go, you can trust this guy.
100%.
I'm Britain's pun champion.
I'm the UK pun champion until next week when they have the championships again, and I'm not going to bear them because I forgot to apply. But I'm the UK pun champion, and I can verify that Mark Dolan is a man of his word, and he would not lie about going to Sheffield and buying a ticket for some reason and then losing it in a nuclear holocaust in his house that lasted for 5 to 10 minutes.
Oh man, you've got the story off pat. Even I was believing you there. You are good.
I
will share every penny so that then all you need to do, you don't need to work anymore, you can just sit at home and come up with wordplay at your leisure.
So we share every penny, but you keep the pounds.
Well, that's yes, and your payment will obviously be tax deductible, and it all goes through my agent, so you won't be looking at a vast amount at the end of it. But I've got to say, it's an amusing thing that this lottery ticket, which, you know, has not claimed. And what are we looking at? 32 million, which is clearly a life-changing amount of money. It's wonderfully British that, like, at least 100 people have said it is definitely my ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's just, I respect all of them for their cheek.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I wonder who won. I mean, did they die? Did they just not check their numbers?
Well, I'm gonna give you a crushing confession, and this bit is actually true. I don't know if have you ever bought a lottery ticket?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You strike me as somebody that, because you're clever, you've probably looked at the odds and you probably don't do it anymore, because all the clever people I know have just walked away from it. Even like poor clever people, I'll be like, yeah, that's just silly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it is like burning money. But I bought one once and I didn't win, so I thought, what's the point of this?
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's, you clearly don't understand the
concept. Billy Connolly said it could be you and it wasn't me.
Yeah, well, you know what? He always gets the last word, does our Billy.
Yeah.
I did the same thing, but I must say there was a phase when I was buying lottery tickets. Back in the golden era when they were a pound
a go. Oh, yeah. Are they more than a pound now?
They're 2 quid.
They must be pegged to, like, the big issue or something, because the last time I bought a big issue was, like, 70p or something.
No,
I
went
to buy one the other day, it was, like, 4 quid.
Yeah, it's actually...
like the Zimbabwean lira.
No, you can get, like, FHM with a free pair of sunglasses. It's cheaper than the big issue.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
With Kelly Brook half naked on the front.
Do you get that in the big issue? No, you get like a poem by Jeremy Corbyn.
I've always thought that what they should do is, for the big issue, of which I'm a huge fan and I know you are too, and everything we say is in jest, because we're shallow men and we go after the joke.
Yeah, yeah.
But the big issue is great. What I sometimes do with the big issue, and this is so bad, but it's all about honesty.
Yeah.
I say, nice to meet you, how are you? How's your day? All good. I don't enjoy the newspaper that much.
Right.
Can I just give you a pound?
Yeah.
Because that's about their profit.
Yeah.
You see.
Well, they probably really appreciate that, because then they don't, because they have to buy the papers.
That's it.
So they're saving that money.
That's it. So I think that's what, because I used to be, when I was like, I didn't always used to be such a nice person. And what I used to do in previously was bargain with them. And I'd have the cover price, but say, I want 3 copies.
Right, yeah.
You know. Just used to pep
and
up my
day. And then sell them on at the next corner.
Yes, I did, because I'm quite entrepreneurial in that way.
Yeah.
And for a while, I had actually quite a business empire across quite some of the key poor parts of London.
Climbing out of your Bentley and your fur coat and selling big issues.
That's it. But what I do is I'll give a pound. Now, I don't know whether, I mean, at FUBAR Radio, I don't know if you think that is really unacceptable, because what I am doing, I think the big issue people would not like it, because I'm undermining the sort of the mechanic of it, the concept.
Yeah. No, I think they'd be all right with it.
Well, the thing is, ultimately, they'd say, look, we're there to get money in the pockets of the homeless. So.
Yeah, yeah, not to make money for the newspaper.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's not a bad shout. But what I've always thought that they should do to get the big issue popular is have some, and I'm not going to be coarse about it, Leo Kirst.
Yeah.
But some nudity in there.
Yeah.
Now, this is, you know, my mother is listening to the show. I'm going to put this very gently. I think if you put boobs in it, sales would rocket.
So,
now, the feminists would not be happy.
I think a lot of people, maybe homeless rights campaigners, might not be happy that homeless people are being forced to strip off.
Well, I wasn't thinking of their boobs and man
oh,
boobs.
You weren't, like,
what I mean is, my suggestion is to put boobs in the big issue, like sort of page 11 or something.
Page 11,
maybe,
no,
maybe page three.
But page three.
And by the way, I'm all for equality, so there could be some male totty in there too.
Yeah, yeah.
But we know that the fastest growing business on the planet is pornography.
Yeah.
I mean, it will be ever thus.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just a guaranteed. You know, if you got an email saying we'd like some money, your money, your investment in some kind of pornographic endeavor,
yeah.
you're going to get your money back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nobody's ever lost money on porn, unless they made it in Dumfries.
Where it's, backfires, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because, I think it's wrong to use the wildlife of the area.
That is no way to refer to the women of Dumfries.
Thank you very much. That's it. Thank you for listening in Dumfries, or previously listening. I'd put a little bit of cheeky, saucy adult material in there, some titillation.
Yeah.
And the other thing I'd do is have the television listings.
That's a great idea. That is a great, because you don't get that anymore. Like, I remember
whatever
in the
happened
old days,
to the TV listings?
You had to get two papers. You had to get the Radio Times and the TV Times, because Radio Times used to BBC One and Two, TV Times at ITV, and then it also had Channel 4 when Channel 4 came
in the mid-80s, sales of TV Times and Radio Times, of television-based publications, represented 4% of the British economy.
No way.
Well, yeah, no.
Oh,
way.
Right.
That's right. Thanks, Leo. Can someone get Leo another coffee, please? He's not finding my jokes funny enough, which he has in common with the audience. But yeah, no. I mean, I know. I do remember that. And then, do you remember the Christmas? That was a big commitment.
Oh yeah, you get the big Fortnite special, and it's got all the, you can circle all the Star Warses, all the Indiana Joneses.
What do you think, though?
So
boobies and TV listings.
Boobies and TV listings, and some sort of free present on the front, like, you know, 3D glasses or some Twizzlers.
Yeah.
I don't know,
nothing like offensive, not yeah. like a set of house keys or anything like that.
No.
Not like a sort of miniature welcome mat. I think that would be rubbing it in, Leo.
Yeah.
Can I be honest with you? You've gone too far now. I've won back the moral high ground, even though I famously said those words. Well, there you go. Well, we've dealt with quite a few things there.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is get you to, while we're being sleazy, I've got to say one thing, which is
scheduled to last for another 20 years.
Yeah, correct. You're right there. There is a man, and I'm afraid he passed away. So, you know, our serious commiserations to him, his family.
Somber times.
It's somber times. However, the way he went, there's two things which I think justify us talking about it in a jovial manner. First of all, what happened to him, you've got to say, was self-inflicted.
Yeah. Self-inflicted is definitely the word.
Literally.
Yeah.
And also, I'm afraid it's amusing. So what we have is, we have a man in America who was driving a soft-top car, and
he was having a soft-top moment.
Well, he was, because what he was doing is he was pleasuring himself in the car with his trousers around his ankles whilst driving the car. The police believe, whilst looking at some adult material on his smartphone. Now, if he'd had a copy of The Big Issue, which had boobs in it...
Yeah.
I think he'd have been all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Possibly.
Because at least it's like a still image.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you're watching like a scene, There's like characterization involved.
Yeah. You get too absorbed. You get to the Vinegar Strokes too quickly, and then obviously when you reach that moment, you're not going to be able to control a motor vehicle.
Correct. And this is, I'm afraid, what happened to this poor, poor man. So he's driving along with his soft top, his trousers around his ankles, and he's got something playing on his smartphone, and it's not Elton John's Greatest Hits.
You've got to admire
it should be, because I would masturbate to that, obviously.
You've got to admire the chutzpah, like, you know, fully naked from the waist down, masturbating, watching pornography, and driving at the same time. I mean, if that's not a Guinness World Record.
I think that's nearly as good as your UK pun champion, isn't it?
I think it requires about the same amount of skill.
But you looked at it and thought, no, that's too much effort. I'll stick with the wordplay.
And also in London, I mean, I can't afford to run a car. I'd have to do it on the bus, and that becomes an entirely different scenario.
The poor man's, he's had an accident, obviously, and the car has flipped over, and he has been ejected from his own, he apparently wasn't wearing his seatbelt. I mean, he really was not being a good boy that day. He was on a collision course. And in the end, he did. And I was just thinking, it's obviously very sad. But if you're going to pass away, it's a hell of a way to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a majestic death.
And it's a gift to newspaper sub-editors. I mean, that is a headline. It almost sounds like it came from a random headline generator.
It's so good. It's such a good story. It would nearly use up 6 minutes on an internet radio station. That's how valuable that story is. But here's the thing. I mean, it's a great way to go. And I just wonder, you know, how... I've not given you any time to think about this, but the idea of a majestic death.
A majestic death.
Now, I get my caveat is I'd like it to be a very long time from now, because you're one of the country's most enjoyed entertainers. So we need, in this world of terrorism and misery and economic crisis, we need Leo Kurse's puns. But let's say I'll give you till the age of 97.
97? Okay. Well, pretty much anything's going to kill me then.
Because unless even then, even if you're just like a head in a jar, you'll still be able to write puns.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, they've got like this head, they're going to try out the world's first head transplant. By then I won't be able to afford the premium service of having my head grafted onto an actual person. I'll be like grafted onto a baboon or something.
That's brilliant.
So, you know, I mean, I'm going to be barking out, you know, puns, you know, trying to claw them in my own shit up the zoo wall and stuff. But yeah, like 97 years old, how would you like to die?
By the way, I've got a name for your head's business. If you've introduced this idea that you pay for a new head, wegivehead.com.
Wegivehead, that's nice.
By the way, don't Google that at this moment. I've not had a chance to register the address, and I think it's being misappropriated as we speak.
There's a lot of things today that you shouldn't Google. Wegivehead, that's nice. That's nice.
But so here's the thing. If you an ex- sort of majestic death once you're 97, because I just wonder whether it would be something like, I don't know, to be in Africa taken out by a tiger.
By a tiger.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like, that's a man's death.
Getting taken out by Cecil II, the son of Cecil, the lion that was shot by that dentist.
That's it. Yeah. His mean older brother.
Yeah, like in Jaws, The Return or whatever.
That's it. Or like in the nasty uncle in The Lion King, the one that's got a scar.
Yeah,
who I think's name, imaginatively, is called Scar. That was a quick meeting, wasn't it? But I wonder whether, you know, because you sort of think most people, I mean, I suspect that, well, by the way, this is a very sort of, you know, gloomy subject for 12:23 on a Thursday afternoon right at the end of January. But most people will probably like to pass away in their sleep, I'm guessing. Would that be true for you?
I'd like to pass away in their sleep.
I think that would be falling, you know, not knowing it and not coming back.
Yeah. I've heard that freezing. I was watching the film.
Get it right before you write your will.
Drowning when you're really cold. Drowning in cold water. No, freezing is apparently a pleasurable way to... Because once you get past the point of feeling cold, you feel great. And you don't even realise you're cold.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you take
Who has been there to tell us this?
People who climb mountains. I saw it in Everest.
The people who climb mountains who tell us this are patently still alive.
They must have found out somehow because they say, because apparently people, when they're up mountains and they get hypothermia and stuff, they start taking their clothes off even though it's super cold.
Sounds good.
Like a really bad idea, because you need, even with the clothes on, you're cold.
Yeah.
So if you take them off, you're going to be even colder. So they take their clothes off. They then may try and drive while masturbating. that's got to be a good way to go, freezing to death.
All right, so you'd go to the top of Ben Nevis, perhaps.
Ben Nevis, yes. Although by the time I'm 97, that's probably going to be they're going to be growing wine up there.
Shall we have? That's a very good point, by the way. It'll be a suntan.
Yeah, it'll be an island
territory.
As well.
I don't know. I can't say how I'd like to pass away. But what I do know is that the worst way is some kind of drug death.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not a good way, because you might drift off into oblivion.
I think it's so silly. And I think especially, and you hear stories all the time now of these legal highs.
Yeah.
And there's a legal high, which I'm sure you're familiar with and probably on as we speak,
yeah.
Called Meow Meow.
Meow Meow. Yeah, the
because you've got your
food.
Meow Meow eyes. You're looking a little... There's no way that you could hit this level without some kind of chemical assistance, because I know you, Leo. Without some kind of narcotic frisson.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing to you.
Yeah, Meow Meow is this thing that's sold as plant food, but plants aren't really interested in it.
No, I don't think so. Correct.
For teenagers.
Although I gave a plant Meow Meow once, and it was climbing the wall. Thanks very much. I'm here all week. See, that was all right, but that won't win you UK Pun Champion. That's not UK Pun Champion
might get
level.
You past the first round.
Yeah, and that'll do me. Then I'm out. We've had a good day. I've had a good day, Jim. We'll take the money, please. But yeah, Meow Meow, right? And I'm afraid people pass away from these things. Mm. How embarrassing would it be for the next generation to hear about, oh, let's say Uncle Bill.
Yeah.
Who in his 20s had Meow Meow, passed away, and then you've got to explain to his grandchildren, you know, who are expecting to hear stories about, you know, he fought in some war or whatever, you know, some really impressive story of human endeavour. It's like, oh, he went to a party and he had something called Meow Meow,
which wasn't even
illegal, and he died.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassing death.
That's not a noble death. That is not like being ejected through your sunroof while masturbating and driving it.
That's what I mean. That latter, the one you just mentioned, is embarrassing, but it's majestic.
It makes the news.
Come on! This guy was a nobody. Yeah, now he's a somebody.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy's got a career. The car he was driving now has an agent. But I think that there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, I'm against drugs. I think it's a terrible scourge on our society.
Yeah.
But when you hear about, let's say, I don't know, a rock star or something, and they find like 17 different poisons in the body when they find...
Yeah.
Again, I'm not praising it, but there's a bit of scale involved.
Yeah.
But having a little bit too much Meow Meow...
Yeah.
I mean, that's just silly, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. What drug would you prefer to die from?
Well, I like the idea
as a celebrity, you've
okay.
got a choice.
No, bless you for that. Well, listen, I like the idea. You know how some of the over-the-counter medicines, they always have a little warning about potential side effects, but it's
right,
like 0.01%. So I wonder whether, like, a Strepsils overdose would be the way to go.
Well,
much
they're
beloved TV funny man Mark Dolan's sore throat turned much more painful than he'd ever hoped. He had four in a row, and he was just... His pupils dilated, and he was gone.
Well, because they're saying that sugar is now a drug.
I love the way you're guiding me slightly to the stories in today's show. You're basically you did your homework. You're basically producing the show, and also indirectly presenting it too, which is why we got you here today. Let's talk about sugar. The only thing, a full stop on Meow Meow.
Oh yeah.
Is the problem with the Meow Meow death as well? Is it means that the priest at your funeral is going to have to say the words Meow Meow,
meow
at some point.
Yeah.
And that again is embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now let's talk about sugar, because we have further evidence this week that it's disastrous for our health. In fact, a top doctor is referring to it as the new crack cocaine. One of the most common modern-day dependencies is our growing addiction to sugar, screamed the Mail Online. We hear a lot about addiction to caffeine, sleeping pills, and alcohol. Can we really add sugar to that list? According to an increasing number of sugar experts, the answer is yes. Studies in mice, who are famously quite... They have a sweet tooth, don't they, mice?
Oh, they love sugar.
According to them, they've shown that sugar is addictive, according to those mice. By manipulating their diet to include more or less sugar or to produce sugar withdrawal effect, scientists can produce similar behaviour to true drug addiction. A French scientist discovered that in one particular test, some rats chose sugar over, wait for it, cocaine, even when they were addicted to cocaine.
Oh my God, that's insane. So you could go down to like the Groucho Club or somewhere like that, go to the toilets, take in like, you know, a fun pack or maybe some leftover Quality Street from Christmas and swap it with, you know, whoever's in there, Pete Doherty, for all his like grade A pharmaceutical cocaine.
That's it.
That's what he's going to do.
You sort of expect Pete Doherty in there to be doing lines of this and that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Instead he's on a Kit Kat Crunchy.
Yeah, yeah, he's shoving curly whirlies in his gob.
Yeah. That's a sentence. Are you addicted to sugar?
Curly Whirly is not the nickname of the Wurzel singer's penis.
I'm relieved to hear it.
Sugar, well, the thing is, our diet naturally in the, you know, because we're still basically cave people. We still got the same physiology of, like, you know, people who lived, you know, tens of thousands of years ago, and they had very little pure sugar in their diet, and now we're surrounded by it, and it's in all our food, and it's sold as like a healthy option.
Yeah.
They take the fat out of food. Like this thing here, are we allowed to say brand names?
Go for it. Go for your
Belvita.
Life.
Belvita.
We might get a bit of sponsorship in. We're talking to
biscuits.
Adidas, by the way.
Yeah. Belvita. This is what I've got for breakfast. Belvita breakfast biscuit, and what they do, you know, is low fat, but it's low fat, it's insanely high in sugar. And basically what I'm doing is having ice cream for breakfast, which is great for me, but it's bad for me as well, because it's going to rot my teeth, it's going to leave me dependent on sugar and craving it like Pete Doherty craves crack cocaine.
Yeah.
He doesn't even crave it that much, he actually craves sugar because he's like a mouse. And yeah, so all the, I mean, the bad thing is, like, sugar is put in these products as a replacement for fat, and then they're sold as healthy products when, in fact, sugar, you know, spikes your insulin, it makes you lay down fat, it's really bad for you.
But I think the problem is we're all a bit world weary of the various different scientific evidence we're given, because for like 2-3 decades we've been told that fat's the enemy, saturated fat clogs up your arteries.
Yeah.
Now they've done a flip and they say no, it's sugar, and actually real fat, even if it's like animal fat, is fine.
Yeah.
And the, you know, you the public are forgiven for thinking, what's next? You know what I mean? You go from one theory to another. I mean, do you think the sugar one is going to sort of take hold?
I think so. Yeah, because I mean, if you look at people are generally sort of getting fatter. I know I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I can see
people are getting fat, and I think it's because of the amount of sugar in the diet. I think that, and you know, scientists are always coming up with new theories about what you should eat. There's the Atkins diet, all this sort of stuff. I think the best thing you can do is just eat normal food.
Yeah.
Just eat normal food.
Real actual food.
Actual food that comes out of the ground or out of an animal or shot out of the sky.
You're a Scotsman, and public health is quite an issue, particularly in Scotland, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you put that down to?
Basically, well, I think in Glasgow, you know what it is? In Glasgow, the tap water tastes horrible. So everybody drinks like Iron Brew instead.
Oh, really?
So if they made the tap, because in London, the tap water tastes, even though it's been distilled and filtered through several people before you actually drink it, it tastes nice. It tastes nice. So then you don't drink loads of Coca-Cola, loads of Iron Brew instead.
I see. Okay, well, this debate will continue. You are listening to Mark Dolan Eats the News. We've got a lot to get through before the end of the show, including a new police tactic, which is to break into your home before the burglar can. Also, we'll be looking at the rise of the self-flying military helicopter. Is this the end of the soldier as we know him or her? And is it time for women to stop wearing makeup? This is FUBAR Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll play a record by the Wombats. I know. Thanks very much.
This feeling, but I hate this part. I wanted this. this work so much? I drew up our plans on a chart. Cars are flipping, I'm in hot pursuit. My character's strong, but my head is loose. She hits like ecstasy. Comes over, bangs the sense out of me. The tarot cards say it's not so bad, and the blades rotate, there's just no landing pad. And better have said it, but darling, you're the best. I'm just tired of falling up the Penrose steps. I hate this feeling, but I love this part. She really wants to make it work, and I clearly wanna let.
Presents
Harriet Rose.
I'm Harriet Rose. My brand new show starts on Tuesday, 1 till 4. I'll be bringing you the hottest new music around. Plus, we're going to be chatting to the artist, hearing live performances, and reviewing, well, just about anything. So don't forget to listen. See you next Tuesday.
Every Tuesday,
Harriet Rose.
From 1 p.m. on FUBAR Radio. And eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
That's what we try to do. It's 12:37 on the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. It's FUBAR Radio, Mark Dolan, in the company of top comedian and UK pun champion for another 6.5 days, Leo Kurse. Listen, before we get into our next news story, tell me how you go about writing puns. You must get asked this all the time.
They just, like, you'll be in a conversation with somebody, they'll say a word, and you'll just, in the back of your head, just, you know, a pun will just pop up. Even just talking to you during this show, I came up with your saying, you can tell from a woman's face when she's ovulating. I wrote down, it's obvious.
Like, see?
And then I came up with having an argument.
That was much better than my punchline.
Having an argument with her, and she's like, it's over!
Oh my God! You see, all right, you're live on the radio, being funny, whilst at the same time with your parallel brain is composing jokes.
You can't turn it off. It's like
Rain Man. This is spooky.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
ask you.
I just wish I could go to the casino instead and make actual money.
I know.
Like, being UK pun champion, I won like a rubber chicken. It's not the same as, like, you know, going to the casino with Tom Cruise and coming out with 10 grand.
It's not the same. It's not the same. But my God, that's a hell of a thing. So. Is there ever a time when you sit there with a blank page and just try to make stuff happen on the page, or do you always wait for inspiration?
Yeah, no, I mean, I sometimes sit down and just go through, you can go through a dictionary, you can go through, what's great is going through a book of idioms.
Yeah.
Phrases and sayings and stuff, and then you go through those, and then you just see what you know, sounds like something else.
The other thing is, how much of a challenge is it to differentiate yourself and your style from other people that do puns?
I think most people who do puns keep it fairly clean. Whereas I do a lot of filthy puns. Even on Britain's Got Talent, I said, I really want to enter America's Next Top Model because she's really fit.
That's great. I bet Simon liked that one.
I don't think he liked anything. He doesn't strike me as a man who laughs much. Maybe he just laughs when he kicks kicks the hands of his enemies while they're gripping onto the edge of a cliff.
Just a bit. That's my guess as well. Did you notice any cushions on his seat? Was there any sort of like behind the scenes smoke and mirrors going
on
with that show?
Is he a short man?
So, well, yeah, apparently he's got a puffed up cushions to bring his body up higher.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's one of the theories. That's
I
one
didn't
of the
see
theories.
Him standing up.
No.
I didn't see him standing up.
But, well, it's, yeah, I mean, and the thing is, people love puns, don't they? And I suppose what some people don't realise is that there are lots of very, very, very well-known comedians who actually do puns. It's just that we don't really think of it as puns. Like, I'm assuming most of Jimmy Carr's jokes qualify as puns. Would that be true?
Yeah, lots of them are puns or just sort of one-liners.
Yeah. What's the difference between a pun and a one-liner, do you think?
Well, a pun is a pleonasm, so it's like a play on words. It's switching words. One-liners can be spoonerisms, which is when you change the start of a... I wish I had one to describe we change the start of the words and yeah, one-liners can just be, you know, short little gags that don't actually rely on wordplay.
So it's well, obviously, were you always doing puns as a kid? Did you just have like these little jokes in your head?
Not really. No, my friend Darren, who he actually got Joke of the Fringe last year, and he was the UK pun champion before me. So we shared a flat in Edinburgh, and we were doing loads of puns all the time, and really got hooked on it. And then we did a double act for a couple of years called A Tell of the Pun, which was us pun battling to find out who was the best at punning and doing improvised puns, riffing with the audience.
Really?
And we're dressed as medieval warlords, so I was A Tell of the Pun, he was Genghis Pun. And now I do it solo.
But not in an open top car, I hope, at speed.
No.
Well, it's the public love it, don't they?
Yeah.
People love a bit of wordplay. And does it ever go into like one-liners as well, your stuff?
Yeah, I'm quite lax with the rules around puns. I do Pun Run in London quite a lot, and
which is a lovely live show that features comedians only doing puns.
Even
comedians who don't normally do puns are, when they go on there, they got to do puns, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's fun seeing comedians take a step outside of what they normally do. Have you done it?
No, I haven't. I'd love to. And do you find improvising puns really hard?
It can be hard, because you can, especially when there's just one of you. When it was me and Darren both doing it, there was far more chance that one of us would come up with something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You were saying to the audience, you know, give us any subject, and then they shout something out. Like, I mean, give me a subject now.
Okay, yeah. So what about, I'll give you the subject of council houses.
Council houses. Council houses. That's your subject?
Yeah, and I've got some others, actually. Buying a laptop.
Buying a laptop. Actually, I got a laptop. The other day. I turned it on, and I ate 5 bags of chips, and then sang a song about getting dumped. It's Adele.
See, now that's very strong. Did you just improvise that?
No. I already had it. But did you set me up with that? Because you knew I had that.
No,
oh,
I didn't.
Amazing.
So that was luck. But that was amazing.
Luck, yeah,
that was amazing. But it's a lovely, lovely thing, and a great, great skill, I suppose, and a certain kind of.
I suppose.
Also, the other thing, I suppose, and is it because I've noticed some people that do puns. Over the course of an hour, they struggle to stop it being sort of samey in terms of tone.
Yeah.
So how do you address that?
I break it up with... I've got a couple of songs. So I sing Girls Just Want to Hear Puns.
Oh, that's great.
And what's the other one? I did one. Don't laugh at me for fun, man. I am the pun man. Laugh at me for a reason. Let the reason be puns.
Now, we've had jokes today. We've had satirical comment. And now we've got singing. I mean, I'm pinching myself.
My triple threat.
You are now, you're probably Mark Dolan Eats the News British guest champion. Okay? So when your pun champion thing expires, you've got a new trophy. And the actual trophy is a stained FUBAR mug, which probably has the DNA of both Joey Page and Justin Lee Collins on it.
So I can clone them.
Correct. That's certainly one thing you could do with them. Either that or put it on the boil wash in your dishwasher. Let's crack on, because makeup is very much in the news. A teenager who posted a selfie with makeup on just half her face to show the power of cosmetics is shocked as trolls call her natural look ugly and disgusting. Which really surprises me, because I thought that the way things are going is that men are under more pressure to look gorgeous and buff and moisturise. Yeah. And it's going the other way with females who are encouraged to have a more sort of natural look. So do you feel from like females that you know, do you think women are under exactly the same amount of pressure to wear makeup and look good as they ever were?
Yeah, I think women are definitely under more pressure to wear makeup. I mean, the thing is, like, I mean, wearing no makeup is often a lot more appealing to a man than too much makeup, especially when they put the makeup on in the tube and you get the sort of zigzag line on the eyebrows and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, my friend Carrie, actually, she's plucked her eyebrows so much she's got no eyebrows left. So she wakes up in the morning, right. She looks like an egg until she draws the face.
Wow. And if she was to find that missing lottery ticket in her jeans, there would be no evidence on her face of surprise.
No.
She'd be like, I've got a lottery ticket, and her face is like this, yeah. There's nothing going on.
But how would she find your ticket in her jeans?
Yeah, exactly, because I'm the one that owns the ticket, because there was a Holocaust in my house for around 5 minutes. You're absolutely right. Well remembered. You're good. You're a good partner in crime. What's your preference as a man of the world? Makeup, no makeup, somewhere in between? Don't care?
I wear a small amount of foundation. Of course you do. A little bit of blusher. I think it really depends on the girl. I mean, this isn't very modern of me, but I quite like girls who wear makeup. I think it looks good. But it really depends on the girl. Like some girls look great with no makeup, and some girls need to.
And others don't. And then it's just a case of cover it up, love. Put it away.
Yeah. Just. But I think there's huge pressure on men these days to look good as well. I mean, I go to the gym, but I don't really go to the gym to get like massive or anything. But there's loads of guys in the gym taking steroids and stuff. I saw a guy in the gym the other day with the dangly nipples. Have you seen this
event? No,
when you take steroids and your body converts the excess testosterone to estrogen, and then you develop breasts, but they're not like normal breasts. They're like they call them bitch tits. That's not misogynistic. It's because it's like the dangly breasts on a dog. You get these big long, like sort of like pinkies, big long. And The Rock had it, and like the only way you can get rid of it is with surgery.
Yeah.
So you've got like a muscly body with like these weird long, droopy, dangly, puffy nipples.
That's, if you're not careful, you'll wind up on page 11 of The Big Issue.
Yeah.
It's a mad thing, but I think you're right. I think so. The sort of the overarching view is that yes, females are expected to look good like they always did, but now men are coming into that too.
Absolutely.
And you can't. And is that to do with the dating market or just general self-respect, do you think?
I think it's, you know, across the media, and you know, once you know, it's like an arms race. Once one man does it, all the other men have to do it.
Yeah,
I was in
true.
Thailand a couple of years back, and
hashtag sex tourist.
the loads of the men, like, I went to, you know, a couple of the islands that were like party islands.
Well, they were a party for you, in that convent school.
The men walking.
I've been on your Facebook page. I've seen the photos.
The men.
You're like a father figure to those people, aren't you? Literally, in some cases.
A BBC father figure. The men were all walking around with, you know, these puffed up, steroidy bodies, and these you know, this sort of claw tribal tattoos on the shoulder. They all looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
And the trouble is, like, to get a body like that, you've got to go to the gym. You've got to eat lots of broccoli and chicken. You've got to take steroids. Whereas with women, at least all you do is put makeup on, maybe stop eating pies for a bit.
Is that the Leo Kirth diet plan? Put some makeup. You'd be great as a replacement to Gok Wan. Put some makeup, love, and stop eating pies. See you next week. Oh, thanks, Leo. Your advice changed my life. It's fantastic. In one sentence, you've just solved all of womanhood's problems. Less pies, more makeup. It feels like a hashtag that's trending as we speak.
Yeah.
What about tattoos? Because a father who has tattoos all over his entire body, including his lips and his private parts, regrets not some of them, all of them.
Yeah.
And he's going to have laser surgery for the next 10 years to get his old skin back. Now, my question to you is this. Tattoos obviously is a fashion fad. Maybe it started 10 years ago with David Beckham, who began inking himself, and a few other iconic entertainers and public figures who went for that look. Cheryl Fassini Fernandez, whatever
she's
called.
Massive flower
on her back.
Yeah.
So the celebs have done it, but I just wonder whether it will be like a fashion fad and it will cease to be fashionable. And, you know, you've got a story like this. Could we ultimately see the fading away, literally and also metaphorically, of tattoos?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is a fad. You know, the hipsters all got them. It was supposed to be a sign of individuality and rebellion, but now everybody's doing it. So, like, yeah. You know, like Tory MPs have got tattoos and stuff. And it's like the '80s. You go back to the '80s. Everybody was wearing, like, you know, mullets and, like, you know, gold puffer jackets and stuff like that. The thing with those things, you can grow your hair out. You don't have to have a mullet anymore. With a tattoo, you're kind of stuck with it. And yeah. You see people with neck tattoos, tattoos in the face. Those big knobbly earrings that you can put your finger through, they are disgusting. You know what I mean? Yeah. How are you going to get rid of those things?
Yeah, so I think that that's a good theory. And therefore, if you're wondering what the sort of big business of the next 20 years is going to be, it'll be the laser surgery business.
Absolutely.
But it's, I don't know, do you have any? Have you got any inkings?
I don't have any tattoos.
I don't either. I don't know about you. If I had one, because I don't think it would look good on me, but if I did have one, it would need to be practical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like a map.
Of my nearest locale would be quite nice. Maybe like my PIN number on my wrist. Yeah. Just that library card number above my left nipple, like that. Yeah. I hope to see the back of it, because I think it's exactly as you say, like the hipster thing where it's just everyone's doing it. Then it's not an expression of individuality anymore. And the whole point, it used to be like a little decoration, like someone would have sort of a heart on their upper arm or something that. Yeah.
Or but an anchor, because they were in the Navy, you know, something that was, you know, meant something.
Yeah, hey, there you go. But would it put you off a prospective female if she was inked up?
It depends. It depends. It might do.
Depends. I think what it depends on is how
drunk I am.
Correct. No, how long it's been, maybe.
It depends. Yeah, how long it's been, how much makeup she's wearing, you know.
Can I be honest with you? The reason why you've not got a girlfriend at the moment, have you?
I do actually have a.
Oh damn! Doesn't work for my joke then.
I'll be going to the joke.
Yeah, you know why you don't have a girlfriend? You spend too much time in your soft top car.
That's why. Soft top. He means doobie.
Yeah. I don't know why you're constantly on road trips in that convertible of yours. He's often gone for days, guys. Like, is Leo all right?
I come back. My phone battery's flat. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Your body itself just worn out. Just like this haunted expression in your eyes. Speaking of sort of style, the unrepentant slummy mummy. Mother does the school run in her nightwear in protest at head teacher who told parents not to wear pyjamas when they bring their kids to school. Now, hard to believe, but I'm afraid in various communities across our country, there are parents taking their children to primary school whilst wearing their pyjamas. And what they appear to do is they're maybe wearing a onesie or actual pyjamas. They put on a dressing gown, sometimes slippers, if you're lucky, Ugg boots, and they take the children who are in full school uniform to work. Yeah. Now, the head teacher had the temerity to write a letter saying, and I thought the letter was very well written. It wasn't snobby.
Yeah.
It wasn't judgmental.
Yeah.
It was just, the tone of it was, oughtn't we to be an example to our children and show them that they need to aim high and be aspirational. Perhaps we could do that by dressing in the morning.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, this is an open and shut case of broken Britain, isn't it?
Put some clothes on before you leave the house. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's not much to ask. Like, turn up and, like, dress. But you know what the problem is? Like, my girlfriend got me a dressing gown for Christmas, and I've never had one before, and it is so incredibly comfortable. Yes. You should start making clothes out of the same stuff they make dressing gowns out of.
Really, because
this feels like some sort of rough burlap sack, you know, with thorns and, like, barbed wire. I feel like Jesus carrying the cross, wearing, like, my cord trousers and my normal cotton shirt.
Yes, I know.
I want a dressing gown, full bodysuit. Or, you know, separate shirt and trousers.
Yeah, so you'd sort of like to wear a suit which is made up of sort of very fluffy polyester.
Absolutely,
basically.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if all of our clothes were made out of dressing gown material, everybody would be a walking fire hazard.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I mean, just the,
and we'd be so
especially
absorbing
at winter with all those bonfires and everything.
A spark comes into the crowd.
Because for some reason, for some inexplicable reason, I've never really understood why, but all nightwear is very fire hazardous.
Very
flammable.
Yeah.
Why is it limit? Why regular clothes are not, but for some reason, the minute it's bedtime, it's time to torch you.
Yeah, when you're going to be asleep and least aware of being on fire as well. that's a terrible design.
But you're right that pyjamas are more comfortable than.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's troubling about this is not the pyjamas. It is a reflection of the worldview and attitude of these people who unfortunately have reproduced and have children.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of the behavioural mess.
Where are we going as a society? Because, I mean...
It is. You couldn't make it up, could you?
Yeah,
pyjamas to school.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And the kids are wearing school uniform, and it's such a, you know, it's one of those do as I do, not what I say or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shocking thing.
I think we should get uniforms for the parents as well.
Now, there's an idea.
School delivery uniforms.
Otherwise, you'd lose your place in the school. Because, I mean, I know it's going to sound a bit...
Going
a bit Daily Mail on you. But, you know, having a place at a school is a real privilege.
Yeah.
For the state to bankroll the education of your child is a very nice thing of the state to do. I know we all pay our taxes, but, you know, my kids are in the local excellent state school, and... The government are, paying thousands and thousands of pounds for my children's education. So I'm like, as an acknowledgement, I'll turn up on time, have the kids fed, watered, support what the school is trying to do. And I might even occasionally wear some actual outdoor clothes myself.
Yeah.
Just as a thank you.
Yeah.
I go the other way. I mean, I dress up. For me, it's showtime. So, full dinner suit.
Nice.
I don't care.
Nice.
Black patent shoes.
Yeah.
Tie pin.
Yeah, nice.
Grease back, like prop, like hair. I mean, hair just like basically. I pop in at Tony and Guy on my way up.
Yeah. Get up at like 4:30 a.m.
I'm exhausted. I'm shattered.
But it's worth it to give that example to the children and to look down on the other parents.
What's the greatest distance you've been in your pajamas?
The thing is, I just sleep.
You sleep naked, don't you?
I sleep naked, yeah.
I know you do.
I don't like,
because I've been on your Facebook.
You
I've seen your holiday photos from Thailand.
Right.
You don't just sleep naked, do you? You seem to meet the locals naked too, Leo.
I can't believe those uploaded. I don't really go anywhere in my indoor clothes.
Yeah. I wonder where one can draw the line, because what I must admit I do is... I nip out of the house with the recycling, sometimes in a t-shirt and my boxer shorts.
Right, yeah. How far away is the recycling?
Oh, no, it's not like I don't go down to the local depot. That would definitely be, 7 miles.
In your soft top.
Correct. No, it would be like when it's chucking out day, I've just got to nip out, and it would be like just towards the front of where I live.
Right.
So you're looking at 10 meters.
Right, yeah.
In a kind of communal... bin area.
Right, yeah. I think that's...
But I mean, I do it in the dead of night, sort of 11 p.m.
That's fine. You're not going near a school. You're not dropping off children. You're not being a bad example
to anyone.
No,
I live in a school. That's the problem.
Live in a school. that is a problem.
It's not my intention to end on the note of me in boxer shorts in the dead of night. That was never my plan. I've got a quick one for you, which I'm afraid is pretty sort of heavy.
Yeah.
But I'll just get your kind of your acid test, litmus test response. Trevor Phillips, who is a very respected broadcaster and various other things, writer, and he's just
he's the chairman for the Commission for Racial Equality.
Thank you. There you go. So he's a man of substance. I'm a fan of his, actually. And what he seems to tend to do is he tends to use his platform as a highly respected black man to sometimes say things that if a white person said it, it would be racist.
Yeah.
But he's like, look, I'm saying it, and I'm Trevor Phillips, and I have to be black, so let's just have a debate here.
Yeah.
And his is, Muslims are not like us, and we should just accept they will never integrate. Is he right?
Well, I think what's interesting is Muslims who come to this country sometimes become more devoted Muslims. They become more hardcore Muslims.
Yeah.
Because, in other countries, Pakistan or whatever, they're becoming more liberal, becoming more sort of westernized.
Yeah.
To sort of cling on to their identity. I guess it's fear.
It's like Canadians are exactly the same.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, on that note, I can't tell you how brilliant it's been to have you. 5-star guest, as always. Guest world champion, Mark Dolan Eats the News. Please come back and see us soon.
Thank you.
I've been Mark Dolan. Keep it FUBAR. Don't go anywhere. And thanks for helping me eat the news.
Whatever. I went down to the beach and saw Kiki. She was all like, and I'm like, whatever. Then this chick comes up to me and she's all like, hey, aren't you that dude? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. So later, I'm at the pool hall, and this girl comes up, and she's all like, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. 'Cause this is my United States of whatever. And this is my United States of whatever. And then it's 3 a.m. I'm on the corner wearing my leather. This dude comes up and he's like, "Hey, punk." I'm like, "Yeah, whatever." Then I'm throwing dice in the alley. Officer Leroy comes up and he's like, "Hey, I thought I told you." And I'm like, "Yeah, whatever." Then up comes Zaffo. I'm like, "Yo, Zaffo, what's up?" He's like, "Done." I'm like, "That's cool." 'Cause this is my United.